It's April 2nd, and this is the Civil War Podcast. It was on this day in 1865 that A.P. Hill died. Ambrose Powell Hill was born in 1825 to a distinguished family in Culpeper, Virginia. Family and friends called him Powell. Later his troops would refer to him as Little Powell. He was interested from his youth in a military education, once joking that, "I can never retire or rise without the sound of the drum," and his influential family secured for him an appointment to the United States Military Academy. The family quickly fell out of contact with him, and the 16-year-old wrote complaining that letters from home are somewhat like an angel's visits, few and far between. Luckily, the genial young man made friends easily and would count such future generals as Darius Couch, George Pickett, Jesse Reno, George Stoneman, Cadmus Wilcox, Henry Heath, and Ambrose Burnside amongst his comrades. Perhaps his closest friend was his academy roommate George McClellan. The men remained good friends for the next decade and a half, their friendship even surviving a love triangle. One battle the little Napoleon did win. For all their camaraderie, Hill's soldiers noted that their battle seemed especially vicious whenever McClellan's was in opposition. An inveterate lover of the ladies, Hill collected girlfriends wherever he served. In one unfortunate incident, he caught an STD during a furlough. Chronic prostatitis, a complication of gonorrhea, caused him to have to repeat his third year at the point and troubled him the rest of his life. Academy medical records indicate that he was incapable of military and academic duties, and this was also the case during the Gettysburg and Overland campaigns, where his effectiveness as a fighting commander was dulled by illness. Graduating 15th of 38 in the class of 1847, he was sent to Mexico to rejoin his old classmates in the Mexican War. He would go on to serve in the Seminole Wars, but fought only skirmishes in both of these conflicts. Most of his time was spent in garrison duty, where he drank to relieve boredom and discomfort. An inauspicious debut for the man Shelby Foote would call the fightinest general in Lee's army. Fightinest is a fitting adjective. Hill was opinionated and impulsive. The son of a Virginia politician, he held strong views on states' rights. He resigned from the army and joined the Confederacy before the outbreak of the war, and even before his home state had seceded. He started his Confederate service as a colonel and was promoted to brigadier in early 1862 and became a major general just 3 months later. He commanded a force he named the Light Division, consisting of about 15,000 men known for fast marching. Said one veteran, "The name was applicable, for we often marched without coats, blankets, knapsacks, or any other burdens except our arms and haversacks, which were never heavy and sometimes empty." He quarreled with his superiors. After an argument with Longstreet, his superior officer, Hill was placed in arrest and challenged the general to a duel. In an attempt to keep the peace, Lee reassigned him to Jackson's corps, but Hill and the equally mercurial Stonewall had been feuding since their West Point days. Regardless of the interpersonal conflicts caused by his quick temper, Hill distinguished himself as a division commander. Most notably at Antietam, he marched his division from Harper's Ferry to the battlefield just in time to forestall the destruction of Lee's flank. After Jackson's death saw him elevated to corps commander, his effectiveness was questioned. Impetuous decisions and a disease-ridden constitution led to subpar performances at Gettysburg, Mine Run, and the Wilderness. He was superstitious. As a good luck charm, he carried a lucky bone from an old Virginia ham given to him by his mother. He also wore a red flannel shirt in battle, which his troops came to recognize as unlucky for them. It was a harbinger of hard fighting. He was defeated after a hard fight in suit of the future Mrs. McClellan, but Hill's luck was in the night he spied his future wife, Dolly, at a dance. He wrote afterwards to his sister, "You know that I am so constituted that to be in love with someone is as necessary to me as my dinner, and there is now a little siren who has thrown her net around me, and I know not how soon I may yield up my right to flirt with whom I please. She is a sensible little beauty, and if the spasm will stay in me long enough, and she will say yes, why, I don't believe I could do better." He also wrote to McClellan, "I'm afraid there is no mistake about it this time, old fellow, and please God and Kentucky bluegrass, my bachelor life is about to end, and I shall swell the number of blessed martyrs who have yielded up freedom to crinoline and blue eyes. I expect to be married in Lexington, Kentucky, on June 18th, and if you could ride down from Chicago, you know there is no one whose presence would delight me more." McClellan couldn't attend the ceremony, but Dolly's oldest brother, John Hunt Morgan, served as best man. Dolly would lose both her husband and her brother to the cause. That cause was faltering by April 1865, when the looming threat of Grant's army outside Richmond was stealing residents to prepare for evacuation. Little Powell was amongst them, recuperating from yet another recurrence of his illness, and the dark mood did not help his depressed state. He told a staffer he had no wish to survive the fall of the Capitol. Lee heard reports of this and cautioned Hill not to take undue chances, but ever headstrong, Hill ventured out to the front lines and was shot dead by a squad of Federals. Richmond fell the next day. You've been listening to the Civil War Podcast, a weekly podcast researched, written, and read by Aaron McGuire, with music by Tom Nagy. Thank you for listening.